When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Russia says it will honor its natural gas commitments to Europe, but warns of Nord Stream curbs. Plus, President Putin aims to strengthen ties with Iran and Turkey.
He's trying to push back on the sanctions, on the isolation that have been imposed on him by the West and by the United States.
And UK inflation hits another record. It's Wednesday, July 20th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Russian President Vladimir Putin has said Russia would fulfill its commitments to supply natural gas to Europe, but warned that flows via the Nord Stream pipeline could be curbed soon if sanctions prevent additional maintenance on its components. Putin said, quote, Gazprom has always fulfilled and will fulfill all of its obligations. Nord Stream, which is the main artery for Russian gas to Europe, is currently down due to regular maintenance. European governments are worried the Kremlin won't restore its flow when the work ends on Thursday. The annual rate of inflation in the UK has risen to a new four-decade high. The UK's Office for National Statistics says consumer prices were 9.4% higher in June than a year earlier. It's the fastest rise in prices for a Group of Seven economy since the global surge began at the start of last year. That's likely to prompt the Bank of England to continue raising its key interest rate. A long-awaited overhaul of the UK's audit and accounting sector could be further delayed due to a change of government in the country. A revamp has been in the making since 2018, when construction and outsourcing giant Carillion went bankrupt, starting a debate over the quality of auditing and accounting in the UK. Last May, the government unveiled plans to limit the share of the audit market held by the big four audit firms, Deloitte, Ernst & Young, KPMG, and PricewaterhouseCoopers, and to expand corporate directors' responsibilities around internal auditing controls. The Sri Lankan parliament has elected Ranil Wickremesinghe, the country's sixth prime minister, as its new president. He's been serving as acting president since President Gotabaya Rajapaksa fled the country and resigned via email last week. During a speech, Wickremesinghe urged Sri Lanka's parties to work together to resolve the country's economic crisis and respond to calls from the public for political change. In the U.S., the House has passed a bill that would codify protections for same-sex and interracial marriage under federal law. Democratic lawmakers say the recent Supreme Court decision overturning Roe v. Wade could put other precedents in danger. They're also challenging Republicans to make clear how they would vote on such protections, which are supported by most Americans. Senate Democrats have not said whether they will schedule a vote on the bill. And highly indebted Chinese real estate developer Evergrande still hasn't reached an agreement with international bondholders about restructuring its business, calling a self-imposed July deadline to do so into question. That's according to people familiar with the matter. Our markets reporter Caitlin Ostroff explains.
You have an environment right now where China's property sector as a whole has faced falling sales and weak home buyer demand and isn't priced at how it had been a couple of years ago. And so that's making it difficult because they're trying to do the restructuring plan with a sense of what are the company's assets worth, what are the liabilities worth in this environment that doesn't quite match what it had been recently.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is working to protect victims of scams on money transfer services like Zelle. That's according to people familiar with the matter, who say the Bureau is expected to release new guidance in the coming weeks. Joining me now to explain is Wall Street Journal banking reporter Andrew Ackerman. Hi, Andrew. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So, Andrew, tell us what we've learned so far about how the CFPB plans to address this problem.
Well, the CFPB has been under pressure from Democratic lawmakers and from consumer advocates. They've gotten a ton of consumer complaints from people who are increasingly using money transfer services, particularly Zelle, who say, you know, I'm the victim of these scams. You got to do something to help me get my money back. But what the regulators seem to be particularly worried about, though, is an increasing number of cases where scammers pretend to be customers' banks. And they say, hey, there's a problem with your account. We need you to move some money. But the way the scam works is they make it look like you're actually sending money to yourself. So people may think it's weird, but they kind of do it on Zelle because it's moving from one account to their account is how it looks. But really, they're sending money to an account that's just pretending to be them, and it's controlled by the scammer. That was something that came up at a hearing in April with the CFPB director. And so the CFPB responds to complaints. And so they're trying to come up with some guidance that may significantly increase the requirements of the banks in those scenarios.
How are banks and these money transfer services responding to the action the CFPB is looking to take here?
Yeah, I think the banks are pretty alarmed that they're going to incur significant costs here to operate money transfer services like Zelle. Right now, if you call a bank and you say, hey, I'm the victim of a scam, the bank says, oh, well, what happened? Did you send the money yourself? And the answer is, yeah, I authorized the payment. And so the bank says, okay, well, we don't cover that. We only cover if there was an unauthorized payment on your account. And in this case, it was authorized. So what the CFPB is trying to do is say, in these instances where there are consumer scams, we're going to treat these types of payments with this so-called me-to-me fraud as an unauthorized payment, even if the consumer approved it. And that just means that the banks are going to face much more liability in this space. They're saying they might have to impose fees to cover their increased costs. They may pull back from supporting networks like Zelle. Zelle says they take protecting consumers seriously. It's a priority for them and the firms that offer that money transfer service. And, you know, we quote them. They said that they're constantly adapting consumer protection measures to address evolving threats, and they're trying to make it more difficult for fraudsters to perpetrate these scams as well.
That's Wall Street Journal banking reporter Andrew Ackerman. Andrew, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Coming up, Russian President Vladimir Putin is hoping to strengthen ties with Iran and Turkey. We'll have more on this after the break.
Technology can make the world better. At UST, we're building a future where people everywhere are empowered to live better lives.
It's transformation you can feel.
And you don't have to do it alone.
We believe in the power of technology to transform businesses and build a better world.
Russian President Vladimir Putin met with his counterparts from Iran and Turkey as part of discussions aimed at boosting ties among the three countries. The summit with Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan and Iran's President Ibrahim Raisi in Tehran nominally focused on peace talks and the war in Syria. But the conversation among the three leaders was overshadowed by the crisis in Ukraine. Joining me now with more on the talks is Wall Street Journal Middle East correspondent Jared Mousen. Hi, Jared. Thanks for being here.
Hi, good morning.
So, Jared, let's start with what Putin is hoping to accomplish here.
So this was an important visit for Putin in the sense that it was only his second time leaving Russia since the invasion of Ukraine began in February. He did one other trip in June to Tajikistan, which is a small country in Central Asia that's really in Russia's immediate sphere of influence. So going to Iran was a way for him to say that he's, in a way, not isolated. He's trying to push back on the sanctions, on the isolation that have been imposed on him by the West and by the United States. So it was really a statement about that.
Was there any progress made on the proposal backed by the United Nations to resume grain exports from Ukraine?
So that was an important topic that was discussed between Putin and President Erdogan of Turkey. Turkey has been supporting the negotiations that are also backed by the UN to resume these exports on ships through the Black Sea to get more than 20 million tons of grain out of Ukraine that have been trapped there by the Russian invasion. We know that it came up between Erdogan and Putin and some Western officials that we've heard from. They were pinning their hopes on Erdogan to try to help seal the deal with him. Neither leader spoke about it after their meeting, so we don't know exactly, but they were both upbeat about it. And we know there's been more momentum behind those negotiations in the last few days with some Turkish officials saying that there's another meeting expected among the various parties involved in that later this week.
Tell us more about Turkey's role here overall. President Erdogan has tried to stay in the middle here between Russia and the West.
That's right. Turkey has really played a fascinating role in the war in Ukraine from the beginning. Early on, they took a principled stand of condemning the invasion. They said that the invasion was a violation of Ukraine's sovereignty. They also took a legal decision that blocked more Russian warships from entering the Black Sea at the start of the invasion by invoking a treaty that gives them the right to do that. They've also been selling these armed drones to Ukraine, the Bayraktar TB2s, that have really played an instrumental role in helping the Ukrainians resist the Russian invasion. At the same time, they've really positioned themselves as a neutral arbiter. They've refrained from imposing sanctions on Russia. They've welcomed inflows of Russian money. And Erdogan is one of the few world leaders who still speaks regularly with Putin. And what he's said over and over is that he wants to be the one to broker a peace deal in Ukraine. He doesn't want to really side too strongly with one side or the other. And Turkish officials have really said that some countries want to prolong this war and we want to stop it. And so that's really their position, is taking more of a neutral stand and standing apart a little bit from some of the other countries in NATO that are arming Ukraine.
Jared, what did the three leaders talk about regarding Syria?
Right. So this summit in Tehran was nominally about the so-called Astana process, which is a Russian, Iranian and Turkish-backed peace process in Syria. That's been going on since 2017. But really, this set of talks is about those three countries showing that they have the initiative in Syria and to push back on the United States and kind of exerting their own influence over the situation. One of the main points that came up was that President Erdogan is threatening to launch a new incursion against Kurdish militants in northern Syria. Turkey has done this before in the past, but they're threatening to do it again now. And it's something that the United States, Russia, and Iran have now said they all disapprove of. So that was one point of contention that came up. So that was fascinating to watch.
Let's talk about Iran, which is also looking to strengthen economic ties with Russia. What are its key aims during these discussions?
Well, for Iran also, this was another way of breaking out of some of the international isolation that's been imposed on it. Iranian officials talked about how Tehran is a center of diplomacy, and it was also for them about optics of having two major world leaders visiting. And just like for Russia, for the Iranians, this is really about kind of establishing their own international order, an order of sanctioned states, if you will, is how one analyst put it to me, of trading in their own currencies, of trying to stitch their economies together more closely in order to push back on sanctions that have been imposed on them by the United States and Europe.
That's Wall Street Journal Middle East correspondent Jared Malson. Jared, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.
And finally, peacocks are at large on the outskirts of Grand Island, Nebraska, and the law is on their side. The noisy feral birds have lived there for years. No big deal for some residents, but others are crying foul, complaining that the birds make too much noise and can make a mess. Efforts to rein them in have failed so far, since no one owns them and there are no regulations banning them. A city council bill seeking to ban them failed to garner a majority vote recently, maintaining the status quo. The Wall Street Journal's Midwest correspondent Ben Kessling has more.
So technically the peacocks won, but the measure could come back up again because of some legal punctilio in the legislative process. So who knows? The peacocks aren't out of the woods, as we say.
And that's what's news for this Wednesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.